Well, I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want us to look at a verse in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 to get us into the message tonight. This may be a different thought than probably what we would maybe be used to hearing, I guess. But I wanted to share something with you that I felt like the Lord put on my heart that goes along with the series that I have been doing on Sunday nights. And we've now approached a good amount of these sermons in this series. But we've been going through this series of This Matters. And I wanted to preach a message that the Lord put on my heart that I think is so important for our church family. Something that we certainly could say is true of our church family, but we want it to continue. And that's what we're going to address tonight and we're going to talk about. And I'll get to it here in just a minute. But I'm going to review the messages that we have done for just a moment here. And then I also wanted to ask you tonight, just like you do every other message, I'm sure, but I want to ask you not to just dismiss automatically the thought and say, well, I don't struggle with that. I don't have any issue with that. And really consider the way that possibly God would speak to your heart. I know as I was putting this message together this week, the Lord really spoke to my heart about some areas in my life where I could improve. And I just want you to look at it that way tonight, and hopefully it can be an encouragement to you. But we started off this series of This Matters, preaching about our message matters. And I purposely put this series of messages together because I want these things to be true about our church. I want these to be things that we could say are very evident in our church, certainly a part of our church family as a whole. And so we understand that as a church here, the message that we are delivering to people matters, doesn't it? And so we want people to know that. And so that's why we preach that message. And then we talked about our membership matters and how important it is to just become a part of this church and our church family and to join up with us and be a member. And then we talked about our music matters. And that's something I want to make sure is important here for us in our church. But I want to encourage you with your music choices, even in your own personal life, that you have music that is pleasing to the Lord. And I think God's Word speaks clearly of that. And then we talked about ministry matters. Whatever it is that you do for the Lord, it matters. Every one of us have different areas in which we serve the Lord. But our ministry matters. We talked a little bit about it even with the pianist here, the ministry that they have and the ministry that you can have. And that does matter. And then we talked about how our money matters. And then our motive matters. One day we're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ and judged for what we have done for Christ when it comes to our motive of why we did what we did for Christ. So our motive matters. And then we talked about how our memorization matters. And one of the things that I want to make sure is a very important part of our church is memorizing the Bible and keeping it in our hearts. And getting some verses, I hope you have on your own, getting some verses where you're working on them and you're memorizing them. And then, of course, that's why we have our monthly verse that we try to memorize as well as a church family. And then we talked about mentoring matters. And really the thought behind that was our discipleship. And we want to be a church that disciples individuals and helps them to grow in the Lord. And I'm thankful for individuals that have been a part of my life that have helped in the discipleship process in my life. And we want to be a church that disciples individuals and helps to see them grow and works to mentor them. And then we talked about how our memorials matter. And you can go back in your heart and you can perhaps think of times in your life where you've made important decisions for the Lord and how you can go back to those memorials and remember them. And they truly do matter. And then we talked about Sunday night, we talked about our marriages matter. Or your marriage individually, your marriage matters. And we gave you a message on how important it is to make sure that we have a marriage that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm going to use a word for this message that's going to be able to continue to help us with our alliteration of this. But I want to explain to you what I mean by this. I want to preach a message tonight under this series of This Matters. And I want to title it this, Our Mood Matters. Our mood matters. And what I want to share with you tonight is the importance of making sure that we keep our attitude the way it should be. And I want us tonight to think about our attitude. And I want us tonight to think about our disposition, our mood. Have you ever met perhaps a Christian that just seems to have a sour disposition? Anybody ever met a Christian like that? Of course not, right? They don't exist, right? A Christian that potentially could have a sour disposition. Hey, as Christians, we don't want to have a sour disposition, do we? We don't want to have a sour attitude. We don't want to have a sour mood. And so we want to talk about our attitude. Perhaps maybe you can think of times where you've met a Christian that maybe that would have a bad attitude about things. And we want to keep our attitude in check, don't we? We want to keep our attitude under God's control and let Him control when it comes to our mood and our attitude and our disposition. And we're going to look here at 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want to ask you this along a contrasting thought of what I just asked you. Have you ever met a Christian that has a good attitude? Have you ever met a Christian that has a sweet disposition? That's what we desire, don't we? And that's why at the very beginning of this message, I said that it is true of our church. I'm thankful that I believe I could truly say our church does have a sweet spirit. And we need to continue that, don't we? And that's why I say this matters, because I believe it matters that we have a church that has a sweet spirit. When a visitor comes in, it ought not be long before they can tell, hey, there's a friendliness there. There's a good attitude there. There's a sweet spirit there. But again, let's not just dismiss the thought right away and say, well, I don't have any problem with my attitude. I have a pretty sweet spirit. I'm fine when it comes to my disposition. And really, let's see what God would encourage us with when it comes to our attitude, our mood, our disposition. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Paul is speaking to Timothy here, young Timothy. Really, I say probably, if you do some research on this, you'll find that Timothy's probably about 30 years of age at the time. And so, I don't know, is that young? Yeah, okay. All right, so he is a young man. I get scared to try to approach that, wondering what folks would think about that. But he's about 30 years old probably at the time. And Paul is trying to give him some encouragement, isn't he? Really, as he writes these books to Timothy here, Paul's giving him encouragement really to a young man in the ministry. And Paul, after his years of wisdom and experience, he tries to give young Timothy some encouragement. And notice what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth. And we understand what he's trying to say there is, don't let anyone look down upon you just because you would be a young person. You know, I think so often our young people need to hear that, don't they? You know, don't let somebody look down upon you just because you're young. You can still serve God. You can still do great things for the Lord. And so young people certainly shouldn't allow somebody to look down upon them just because of their age. They can accomplish great tasks for the Lord. And matter of fact, you know the history of revivals, how that many revivals have been able to be established because of young people. And so we want to encourage young people that they can live a life that's pleasing the Lord. They can be faithful to Him. And let no man despise thy youth, Paul says to young Timothy here. And so don't let them look down upon your youth. Certainly you can accomplish great things for the Lord. I mean, think about David, really, in his teenage years, fighting that giant. Think about those little boys that were made kings, really, at just a little tiny age. God can use young people, can't He? But notice what it says here, but be thou an example. And we're going to pause here for just a minute because he says the next three words, of the believers. Of the believers. Here's what he's trying to say to Timothy. You're to be an example to the world of what a believer is and what a believer should be. And that applies to all of us, doesn't it? We're to be an example in this world that we live in to what a believer is and what a believer should be. So let's be an example. That's what he's saying here. And let's go on because he gives specific areas in which you're to be an example. One of them we're going to address tonight. He says in word. Now we know obviously that's talking about even what we do with our, how we talk and speak with our tongue. And there's a lot to be said of that. We've got to be careful with our words and with our speech and with our tongue. As Christians, we need to be an example in that area, don't we? But that's not what we're addressing tonight, so let's move on. He says, in conversation. That has the idea of our lifestyle or our behavior, right? We're to be an example in our lifestyle, in our behavior, in the way that we live in a godly way. Then he goes on and says, he's saying, hey, let's be an example when it comes to your spirit, when it comes to the attitude of your heart or the attitude of your spirit. Now, there is, as airplane pilots fly their airplanes, there is a word that they use to describe their horizontal relationship with the runway, and they use the word attitude. And so when a pilot talks about his attitude, which is obviously different than his altitude, he's talking about his horizontal relationship with the runway. And if a pilot would have an attitude that isn't aligned properly, the plane is going to make contact with the ground at the wrong angle, and it's going to cause a crash. I think about that illustration really in our life as Christians. Just like the plane, a wrong attitude can cause a big problem, can't it? And so that's why I was encouraged in my heart to preach this message about our moods, our attitudes, our disposition. Our attitude really could be defined this way. It's our inward disposition towards things that are around us. Maybe it would be people. Maybe it would be circumstances that are around us. And our attitude really is applied when we deal with something other than ourselves. So we're dealing with other individuals. That's when really our attitude is applied. When we're dealing with a circumstance that's around us. And when we become a Christian, when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, which is exactly the situation that Paul is dealing with here. He's talking to young Timothy, who is a believer, isn't he? And he's saying, Timothy, now that you know Christ as your Savior, you're an example. And as a Christian, when we become a Christian, a part of that new creation that we have. What does the Bible say? We're a new creature, aren't we? We're a new creation. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, just like we addressed this morning, right? And so we're a new creation, and part of that new creation is the development of new attitudes, isn't it? We really, even in our mind, we don't think the same way we used to think before we got saved, do we? We don't have the same attitudes that we used to have before we trusted Jesus as our Savior. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's look at this in a few verses here. In Ephesians chapter 4, he addresses what we need to put off and what we need to put on. And notice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22, it says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And notice what he says. He even mentions the word spirit here in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got now a new way of thinking, don't we? We've got now a new attitudes, new desires, new goals that have been set up because we've put off concerning the former man, the old man, right? The old fleshly man. But now, we're to, after we put off, we're to put on, aren't we? Look at what verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man. So make it so that the new man is in charge, right? The new man's in charge, no longer the old flesh. And I believe that deals with our attitudes as well, doesn't it? That's a subject that we would deal with when it comes to putting the new man in charge. Hey, the new man's going to be in charge when it comes to my disposition, when it comes to my attitudes that I have. And then notice he says at the end, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I have a few things I want to share with you tonight in this message. And the first one is this. I want to draw your mind to this, first of all, tonight about our disposition, our attitude, our mood mattering. The first one is this. It is possible to have a poor attitude as a Christian. It is possible to have a poor attitude as a Christian. And that's what we have to establish first. It's possible for this to happen. So we want to establish, number one, it is possible to have a poor attitude as a Christian. We could give several illustrations with that, couldn't we? We could say that a Christian, it's possible for a Christian to have a rebellious spirit. They could be saved, but yet living with a rebellious type of an attitude. Just a rebellious spirit. They want to do things their way. They don't want to do it the way that God would have them to do it. And they may know Christ as Savior, but they're living with a rebellious spirit, a rebellious attitude. It's possible for a Christian, I know it's hard to believe, but it's possible for a Christian to have a mean spirit, isn't it? To just have a mean spirit about them. Now that doesn't apply, I do not believe that that applies just to a lost person. I believe it is possible for somebody to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet you just say, man, they just have a mean spirit about them. You know, I believe it's possible for someone to have a bitter spirit. A bitter spirit. Maybe perhaps somebody has done something to hurt you. Here's another way in which Christians can have a bitter spirit. When someone's tried to correct them. When someone's tried to tell them, this is something I see in your life that needs to be corrected. Maybe perhaps needs to be improved. Well, we could go back to all kinds of verses to support that. How that we as Christians can encourage each other that way. I think about the verse that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Meaning this, if we're a true friend, we would desire to tell that person what they need to hear anyway, wouldn't we? Instead of just what they want to hear. But someone perhaps could get a bitter spirit saying somebody's hurt me, or God did something I just thought was unfair, or God put some kind of a trouble in my life, and I just... have become bitter about it. Here's what a lot of individuals that have bitterness don't realize. They don't realize, they might perhaps think their bitterness is hurting the person that they're bitter against, but really it hurts themselves, doesn't it? And so we can have a bitter spirit. But then I thought of this, we can also have a critical spirit. We can have a critical spirit. Hey, as Christians, let's check that, right? Let's check that. Let's make sure. Myself, let's check it. Let's all of us check it to make sure that we don't have a critical spirit. Because if we become critical, it can get to the point where we really become critical about everything. You know, we could think of illustrations we could use for that. Perhaps maybe even here in church. An individual that becomes so critical, they say, well, I'm just gonna listen to the sermon that's preached just so that I can find something to criticize. You know, I'm going to be there in the service just so I can find something to criticize. That's why we need to make sure we continue a sweet spirit. We need to make sure our disposition is what it should be, and we're not critical, and we're not that kind of a person. I came across this little thought about a person who's critical. It said, a person who becomes good at finding fault soon becomes good for nothing else. A person that becomes good at finding fault soon becomes good for nothing else. We can have a critical spirit. And then I thought about this. We can also have a resentful spirit where we become upset with God. Maybe a trouble comes. Maybe trouble comes. Maybe something that we think we would have done different had we been in control. Trouble is never going to defeat a person with a right attitude, will it? But trouble will certainly defeat a person that's got a resentful attitude. So let's stay away from that resentful attitude. And then along this thought of it being possible for a Christian to have poor attitudes, I want to add this thought to it. These attitudes that I just mentioned, and that's just a short list. We certainly could mention other things. These attitudes that we mentioned can also be demonstrated in our words and our actions. That's why we have to be so careful when it comes to a poor attitude, because ultimately it comes out in our words and our actions, doesn't it? Now, I did put a key word in there, and I wanted to go back to what I said to help you to understand why I put that key word in there. I said that these type of attitudes can be demonstrated in our actions and our words, because sometimes it is possible for somebody to have a bad attitude, and yet they know really well how to cover it. And maybe you don't notice it in their words and in their actions, but it certainly can be demonstrated in their words and in their actions. Here's what I want us to understand, that it's often easy for us to see the poor attitude that somebody else has. And that's what we need to make sure we remember tonight as we hear the message. But we need to ask God to help us to look at our attitudes. It's easy to see the actions and the words of another that might have a poor attitude. But to ask God, Lord, look, help me to see in my heart. Search me, Lord. See if there's an attitude that I can improve in. And I said just a minute ago that sometimes it can be demonstrated in our words and our actions. And those people with poor attitudes often become negative. They become defiant. They become impatient. They're uncooperative. They have apathy in their lives. They have some arrogance with them. And they're rude and they're selfish. And so let's make sure we stay away from those attitudes. I want you to look really quickly at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 to speak about what I just talked about with our attitudes coming out in our words and our actions. I know you've probably heard this verse before, but Proverbs 23 verse number 7 says this. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What that verse is trying to tell us is what's going on in our spirit speaks to what is taking place in our heart and our mind. So what's happening with my attitude is really a part of what's happening inward in my heart and in my mind as well. So that's why we have to make sure we are careful with the kind of attitude that we need to have, making sure that our disposition is what it should be. Now, since only a person and God know the heart, then only a person and God can get their wrong attitude right, can't they? God's the only one that knows our hearts tonight, doesn't he? Again, we can hide it real well, but that's why we have to look inward and say, God, since you and I are the only ones that know what's going on inside here, you and I are the only ones that are going to be able to deal with this problem. And you've got to take it to the Lord. I want us to notice number two here tonight. I said it's possible for a Christian to have a poor attitude, but number two, this is great. It's possible for a Christian to have a proper attitude. Isn't that great? That's encouraging. It's possible for a Christian to have a proper attitude. Our spirit and our attitude towards life and towards circumstances and towards others really ought to be similar to the attitude and the spirit of Christ, shouldn't they? So we could say it's possible for a Christian to have a sweet spirit. And we could start to form a list. They could have a gentle spirit. They could have a meek spirit. They could have a forgiving spirit. And just like that poor attitude that I just said a minute ago ultimately is demonstrated or can be demonstrated in our words and our actions, isn't it great to know that that's true of a proper attitude as well? Instead of a negative response, we could be positive and encouraging with our attitude and loving and humble, teachable. That's a word that we've been trying to encourage our girls with. I mentioned it this morning, just being able to quietly let God speak to them and have an attitude and a spirit that is teachable. We realize as Christians, we ought to all be like that, shouldn't we? We ought to all desire to have a teachable attitude and to be cooperative and to be selfless and to be persevering to make sure that we see things done that God puts in our heart. So I want to finish now really quickly with two thoughts and we'll be done. We talked about it being possible for a Christian to have a poor attitude. We need to ask God, search us. Make sure our attitude's what it should be. And then it's possible for us to have a proper attitude. But then I want us to see how we, real quickly here, we'll try to go through these quickly. I want to see how we respond in our Christian life with a proper attitude. How we respond to the circumstances that we go through in life with a proper attitude. Because our attitude does matter, doesn't it? And the way we respond to situations that we go through do matter. And so I put a list of things that we can deal with, things that we can face, that we have to make sure we respond with a proper attitude. First of all, I thought about our relationship to God. What's the proper attitude and response when it comes to our relationship with God? Well, reverence and submission to Him. What does the Bible say in James chapter 4, verse number 7? Hey, if I'm going to have a right attitude towards God, I've got to submit myself, therefore, to God. Submitting to the Lord. Draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to you. We preached from James chapter 4 just a few Sundays ago. You might remember the message that we preached there from James chapter 4. Hey, I want to have a right attitude when it comes to my relationship with God, so I've got to have reverence for Him. I've got to submit to what He asked for me to do. And then what is our attitude, or what is the proper way that we respond when it comes to our attitude with other Christians? We need to be kind, and we need to be loving, and we need to be willing to be forgiving. What does the Bible say in Ephesians 4:32? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Hey, how do you respond to another Christian? How is your relationship with God? We just talked about that. But how do you respond to other Christians? You know, it is possible, while we're talking about the things that are possible for Christians, it is possible for a Christian to hurt another one, isn't it? And so how are we going to respond to it? We've got to respond in kindness. We've got to respond in love. We've got to respond with a spirit of saying, I'm going to have an attitude where I'm willing to forgive. Not to be overcome with bitterness, but to say, hey, I'm going to forgive when another Christian might do something that hurts me. And then our response, number three, to authority. Our response to authority. Well, our response to authority ought to be this kind of an attitude where we're respectful and we're cooperative. We respect the authority that God has put in our lives, and we cooperate. We do as we're told. But then I think about this one. What should our attitude, what should our mood or our disposition be when we face a time of trouble? Well, God has an answer for that, doesn't He? He says our disposition when we go through times of trouble ought to be, as a Christian, joy. You say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Well, remember what James says? Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, various trials that you go through, James says, count it all joy. Hey, listen, as a Christian, our attitude, our disposition, our mood when we're facing trouble should still be able to be one of joy. We should still be able to have joy as a Christian. And then here's another way we respond to trouble. Be patient through it and persevere through it. Knowing that God is going to see you through it. What does the Bible say in Romans 8:28? We know that verse. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Think about the story we went over just a few Wednesday nights ago about the life of Joseph. Think about all the troubles that he went through, but yet God worked it together for good, didn't He? And while Joseph went through those troubles, he still had a good spirit, didn't he? While he went through the temptation with Potiphar's wife there, he still reacted in the right way, didn't he? And so as a Christian, let's have an attitude where when we face trouble, we still have joy, we endure it with patience, and we persevere and keep going, and we don't quit. But then, how do we respond when it comes to our attitude to our church? We're faithful and we're dependable. That ought to be the attitude towards our church. We ought to be faithful, and we ought to be dependable. We've been preaching about faithfulness and how it ought to be that we're counted on when it comes to our attitude towards our church. And then how about this? This is a tough one sometimes. Sometimes we have to really check our attitude when it comes to this one. How do we respond in a proper way with our attitude when it comes to something that's been done in our life in an unfair way? Somebody did something unfair to me. Or maybe again we think that of the way God handled something. Man, it was just unfair. I don't know why He did that. You know, I love the message that Brother Leatherman preached at Miss Nancy and Miss Susan Bowman's sister's funeral. How he talked about how that when someone dies, we don't know all the answers. We don't understand everything, and sometimes we may even look at God and say, you know, that's just not fair, or ask God why. Certainly nothing wrong with asking God why, but if He chooses not to give you an answer, you know, be okay with that. Have a proper attitude with that. But what about when something has happened that you just think is unfair? Well, let's respond in humility, and let's respond this way. Let's be confident that God is the final judge. God is the final judge. Let's have that kind of an attitude. Lord, I'm going to be humble about it. Somebody's done something unfair to me, but I'm going to be humble about it. I'm going to respond in such a way where I realize that God is the final judge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And then how do we respond in a proper way when it comes to the lost that are around us? Two words. I think we ought to respond with compassion and concern. What's your attitude towards the lost tonight? What is your attitude towards those that need the gospel? Our attitude, if it's proper now, if we're responding the right way, it should be that we've got compassion for them. We want to see folks come to know Christ as their Savior. And we've got a concern for them. So what is our attitude towards the lost? And then finally, I wrote this one down. And by the way, we could have gone on and on and on with this list. But what should our response be? Or what is the proper response when it comes to sin? Sin that's around us, but then let's make it personal. Our own personal sin. Our attitude and our response toward our sin should be that we want to be uncompromising. We want to make sure that we are intolerant. When we're falling, when we're in temptation and we're giving into that temptation, we want to make sure that we're not going to tolerate it. We're going to confess it, get it under the forgiveness of God, and move on in our life. But then, wait a minute, it could be that our response to sin could be that we need to be willing to forgive an individual that has sinned possibly against us and be able to have that spirit of meekness to them as well. So let's respond correct when it comes to our attitudes, but this is how I'm going to finish the message so that we can apply this to our lives. How do we develop good attitudes? How do we develop good attitudes? I want to give you four things here to close the message. Number one, you have to identify and repent of the bad attitudes that you have. The first way to develop a good attitude is you've got to identify, you know, in my life, and when it comes to my spirit, when it comes to my attitude, when it comes to my mood or my disposition, are there bad attitudes that I have? That I've got to identify and repent of. But then number two, let's react when it comes to our attitude as Jesus would react. Number two, let's react as Jesus would react. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're bringing this to a close now, but 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at the reaction of Jesus here that's given for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to start in verse number 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says this, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." So there's a great example here from Jesus, and steps that we should follow. Well, look at his example in the two verses that follow. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Sounds like a pretty good attitude, doesn't it? He responded with no sin, and no guile was found in his mouth. Look at verse 23. "Who when he was reviled," reviled not again, sounds like a pretty good response, doesn't it? Sounds like a good way to react. Sounds like a good attitude. Notice what it says, verse 23. "When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Jesus reacted in a proper way. Let's make sure when it comes to our attitudes that we react as Jesus would. When the pressure is on, that's when our reaction is really noticed, isn't it? How many of you ever had a time when the pressure was really on and you reacted in such a way where you'd said afterwards, "Ugh, I didn't do so good. Man, I really didn't respond like a Christian would." And you're kind of having some moments where you're saying, "Man, that wasn't good. Man, I didn't respond like I should have." Hey, when the pressure's on, that's when the reactions are really noticed. I think about, even in homes, how that when the pressure's on, that's when the children are watching, aren't they? They're watching for the reactions, aren't they? They're watching to see how dad's going to handle this, how mom's going to handle this. Maybe as a spouse, trying to see the example of Christ in each other. How am I going to respond when the pressure's really on? Well, Jesus reacted. Think about the pressures that he faced. Think about what he went through when he died, but yet he didn't open his mouth. Yet he didn't say a word. Yet he didn't call, as the song says, 10,000 angels to bring him off the cross. He reacted in a right way, didn't he? So number one, let's identify. Let's repent of bad attitudes that we have. And then let's react when it comes to our actions and our reactions and our attitudes and our disposition. Let's react as Jesus would. But then number three, I want you to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, we're drawing this to a close here. We're going to be done very soon. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what the Bible says in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's see verse 5. And here's the third thought. So number one, we identify and we repent of bad attitudes. We react the way Jesus would. And then let's submit our attitudes over to God. Let's submit our attitudes over to God. God, you have control of my attitudes. I don't want to control them anymore. I want you to control them. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the, what's the last three words there? Obedience of Christ. Hey, listen, bring your attitudes in obedience to God's word. When it comes to our attitudes, let's apply discipline. Now, again, there's going to be times when We'll make mistakes. We'll mess up and we'll say, oh, I didn't react the way I should have. But let's make it a normal practice that we bring our attitudes in obedience to God and His Word, and we make it so that our attitudes are disciplined. I came across the definition for a good attitude, and I thought it was so encouraging. And it goes along with what I'm just saying now about submitting your attitudes to God. Think about this definition as I try to slowly say it to you so you can really think of it. It said a good attitude is a matter of faith. And if you think about it, when we have an attitude, it really is a matter of faith. Because we're just putting everything in God's control, aren't we? We're saying, hey, I want to react in such a way, I want to have a good attitude where I realize I don't have to have a poor one because, God, you're in control. God, I can just trust you. I can just put my faith in you. So a good attitude is a matter of faith. Disregarding your feelings. You know, sometimes that poor attitude comes because we're concentrating on our feelings, aren't we? Maybe it's because we got hurt, so I've got a poor attitude. Or we're going through some kind of a circumstance, so I've got a poor attitude because I'm allowing it to be dictated by my feelings. So disregarding your feelings, and then listen to this, with a determination to embrace God's outlook and His disposition. I'm going to determine that my attitude is going to be based on the outlook of God. Hey, when we base our attitude on the outlook of God, God's good, isn't He? And if I would base my attitude on the disposition of God, His character is one that's good, isn't it? It would be proper. That would be the kind of attitude I would want to steer towards. So let's submit our attitudes to God. And then, here's the last one, and we'll be done. Number four. Let's properly feed our attitudes. Properly feed our attitudes. Dwell on the things of God. That'll affect our attitude as well, won't it? Dwell on the things of God so our attitudes are proper, so our disposition, our mood is what it should be. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4 that we're to think on things that are true and honest and lovely and just and of good report. There be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we're dwelling on the negative, our attitude will reflect the same, won't it? So let's not be dwelling on the negative, but instead let's have a positive spirit about us. Let's have a positive attitude. And I felt like God would have me to preach this message so that we will continue to have a sweet spirit in our church, so that when we do have a visitor come in, we'd say, hey, those are Christians that have the right kind of attitude. They're Christians that are looking at things that they might be going through in their life in a proper way. They're responding the way that God would have them to respond. And so let's have a right attitude. And let's make sure that we keep that sweet spirit. It is possible for a Christian to have a poor attitude. So that's why even perhaps tonight, while we close, if you would ask God to search your heart, is there an attitude there towards someone, towards something, a circumstance that you are facing right now, and you would have to say, you know, my attitude is just not really what it should be. When it comes to that person, or when it comes to that circumstance, what I'm facing right now in life, my attitude's really poor. Maybe tonight you would ask God to search your heart and you would see areas in your life in which your attitude's proper. It's what it should be. Ask God to help you to continue to have that sweet, sweet spirit when it comes to our response to God and other believers and troubles and trials that we go through and the sinners who are lost and our church, other Christians. Let's have the sweet spirit that God desires for us to have. Our mood Our attitude, our disposition really does matter. And so let it be said of us tonight that we have a sweet disposition. We have an attitude that sets a wonderful example of what we ought to be as a Christian. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? And while our heads are bowed,